Welcome to Cash Considerations, the podcast that takes you behind the Las Vegas sportsbook from the guys that actually work behind it, with your hosts, Alan Berg, Dave Sharapan, and Matoy Pearson.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. The guys are back here for you for some NFL Conference Championship talk. Might even get into little fights, which is my forte, of course, and some NBA probably. Talk a little boogie, maybe. I know Mo likes to talk about the Warriors, loves them.
Bang.
I think you like them more than me, actually, undercover.
I do love the Warriors. It is true. Yeah.
Who doesn't love the Warriors?
Yeah.
Everybody loves
them. Well,
the haters,
the haters, you know, the haters.
The only ones who don't love them are the ones that hate them.
Right. Factual.
Incredible.
And they keep trying to bet against them, too.
Dummies. Oh, brutal. Rough.
All right, fellas. Well, welcome to the show, of course. And, you know, big weekend, obviously, NFL. We're going to set up the Super Bowl here where we'll all be living the nightmare of building every prop under the sun. And yeah, it's a huge weekend here in 2 weeks in Vegas. We'll get down here. There's all kinds of things to do.
It's fun for everybody but us.
Yeah, pretty much. At least when the game starts, you know, you're like, okay, we just got to post stuff now. This is not that bad. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think it, like, everything that boiled down and, like, stressing over, you know, getting ahead of all the prop lines and stuff like that, when the game cuts on, everyone's going wild. Well, I am, personally.
Right.
But, yeah, it's when the game goes on is when everyone takes that deep breath and – we all come back down to earth for that moment.
Unless you're trading the game in game.
Oh, correct. Oh, yeah. Which will be happening, obviously, 100%.
Yeah.
That's for sure going to be happening.
Yeah, but in the scheme of things, that's going to be all right. You know what I mean? Like, that isn't as bad, I feel like, as doing, like, D's in game. Like, in my opinion. I don't know. I think it's way worse.
Better than building props. It's not the props in general, but the building is a man. It's rough, man.
Yeah.
All right. Enough.
I don't want to dwell on it.
Enough of us complaining. Enough
right.
of us complaining.
No one cares.
Exactly. Cares. No one cares. No one cares.
I don't want to dwell on it. Let's just continue.
All right, well, let's get to it then. Starting with the NFC Championship, the LA Rams at New Orleans. New Orleans -3.5, even money, total 57 here at Caesars. Dave's shop at CG has 3 -20 on the Saints and same total. Go ahead, guys. I don't know if anybody has really a take on this one. This is probably the worst one for me as far as the options, but I don't really care for either game to actually bet on. I'll be looking at like props and things like that probably.
Yeah, I mean, I'm anxiously awaiting to hear each other's takes for the games, and I hope the listeners are as well. But I hope we don't disappoint because we've been in the game long enough, and both games are 3 or 3.5 in juice, and the totals are both 57 and 56. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't. The only thing is with both matchups, they're rematches, and it is hard to beat the team the second time. The Saints' home field advantage is going to come into play. Gurley's health is in question, but C.J. Anderson is, you know, his nickname is Fat Back, and all he is just running the ball. I mean,
Fat Back.
Fat Back. That's what they call him. He calls himself that. Yeah, so – and self-admittedly, you know, he said, I'm 15 pounds overweight. Doesn't matter. You know, I'm still running. So you're right, AB. The props are an interesting a thing as far as a way to attack this game. How does this game stay under? That's what I want to know, Mo. Is there any chance this game stays under?
Yeah, I mean, I think we've talked about it in the upcoming weeks for the Saints and how they kind of hit a brick wall offensively. I don't think they've scored over 30 in, like, maybe the last 4 or 5 weeks. You know, after that Cowboys game, it kind of slowed down. So, yeah, I mean, I thought we talked about them peaking for the most part. And then I was saying that I think the defense has still been playing just as good as they have as the season progressed. So, yeah, I think if the Saints can kind of get a hold of it, you know, they have the 1-2 punch in Kamara and Ingram. Man, Stephen A. Smith called a Kamara Kareem Hunt. I just got
that. Oh, that was bad.
Alan showed me that earlier. But
I don't think Stephen A.'s listening to the show.
No.
But if you are, you got to get better research people, bro.
Yeah,
man, I mean, come on. It's unacceptable.
Well, they got him doing too much to begin with anyway, so, I mean, like...
There's no excuse, Mo.
My bad.
There's no excuse.
My bad, sorry. Yeah.
There's no excuse.
But just going on, you know, the Saints and the way their defense plays, you know, it's just everyone's going to be bending over anyway to begin with. I mean, probably not something to go off, but, you know, I think the Saints are going to win. For the most part, just because of the defense and how they play at home. But I think it's going to be a closer game where it's going to stay under and where the Saints are going to have control towards the end of it. You know, I think right now it's just hard to bet against the Saints at home. You know, so it's kind of everything's kind of even. It looks like the ticket counts are pretty solid within each other. You know, I don't know. McVay might have something ready for him, but traveling to that dome is rough, man, for anyone.
At our place, the ticket count is almost dead even, and surprisingly, the money both on the spread and the money line for an NFC championship game, it's not that big of a decision for us yet. I don't know how that's going to end up, you know, Sunday, because, you know, you guys know and the listeners, whether you don't know or not, a lot of the money comes in, you know, this weekend. So, it could flip the decision. It could make the decision grow bigger. I don't know how this is going to go. I mean, AB, I expect both teams to be able to run the ball, right?
It's funny because I feel like if the Rams are going to win this game, they need to completely do a 180 in their game plan. I don't think that this is the type of team you run the ball against in this dome. I think they really need Todd Gurley, personally. I think they have to throw the ball out of the backfield and really get Goff going with some easy passes. So, for me, if they stick to this whole running system that they've been using, I just don't see the Saints having any problems with them.
I think they got to run the ball to keep the Saints off the field, you know, control the clock a little bit, and that would – you know, lead you to playing the under if you think the Rams are going to be able to run the ball and just play a possession game. But like you said, they got to move the sticks. They got to have sustained drives. And the best way to do that is those short passes to get Goff going. I don't think either team's going to blow each other out in this game. I can't see a scenario where there's a blowout. I mean, The Saints defense showed me something last week after slow out of the gate to the Eagles and being down 14-0 and not allowing another point. I mean, the Eagles were driving to win the game, and that ball goes through Jeffrey's hands, you know, right to the Saints defender and ices the game. But the Eagles gave them everything they could have, right?
Well, give me – hold on 1 second. Oh, no. I'm seeing a line just got smoked.
Oh my goodness! What is happening?
No.
Hey Mo, we're live. Here, I'll pick this thing up. I'll pick this ball up and run with it. The Jeffrey play is still just burning me because I ended up getting on the Eagle train, and I still say at this moment, if he catches that pass, they were on their way to winning that game.
Mm-hmm.
So that one hurt. Also had a Keenan Allen prop 74.5 yards and landed on 75, and he had 2 catches. So it was a salty betting day for me a little bit. I did have the boxing dog on the Fox the FS1 fight, so I got a little back. But anyway, needless to say, I don't know. I just feel like if I was going to play anything this game, I would probably lean under, but man, it's tough to bet a game under when you got two teams that have shown they can score. And, you know, my tracker could have given out totals on this podcast. It's not the best. So, for me, I would actually be looking for any Todd Gurley receiving props if they're out there, is kind of what I'd be shopping around for. I don't know if any books in town yet have that stuff available, but that's where I'd be looking to make a bet in this game, is on Gurley's receiving yards over.
There you go.
Clean. Sorry about that outburst.
Oh, it's all good.
My mind was blown. On air. Insane. But if my take is Saints and under, I'm just going to go right back to it. I can see the Rams actually getting off to a quick start again, but I'm just not going to bet against Saints playing at home. I mean, it's just a different feel. And I think one of the Rams players said it's going to be like cake or something, kind of going back and playing like it wasn't anything. Like, I mean, things like this that are being said prior to the game. Obviously, I didn't do my homework because I have no idea who said that. Or maybe it wasn't even said. Maybe I'm just making it up. You know, just for how the Saints prepare, and Peyton's already been there, and Breeze, you know, just regular stuff that everyone's been saying, which is true, and they'll speak volumes on Sunday when they get it done on en route to the Super Bowl.
Have you guys talked about if the Rams win the game, are they favored over either AFC team?
I personally don't think so.
We'll get there.
Okay.
We'll get there on Sunday, I think, with that convo. But yeah, I don't know. It's gonna depend to me like how both teams look too.
Right.
That win. So
well, we just have that NFC, AFC, you know, line still going.
Oh, okay.
And that has the NFC favored. And gotcha. We got into the discussion of what will the lines be, and it'll either be pick or NFC minus one. Even if the Rams win.
Oh, so, okay.
Yeah, that's the way. I was just curious if you guys had that discussion yet.
All right. Well, next up we got the AFC Championship, New England and Kansas City. Kansas City -3.5, even money here at Caesars, 55.5. Dave Shop's got -3/-15 on the Chiefs and a total of 56. We had a pretty good player play under. So that would be the first thing I would point out here. It's one of the reasons I think we're kind of sitting where we are.
I'm trying to figure out where we – and yeah, open 59. Obviously, that Arctic blast is going to be hitting them. So, you know, the total dropped incredibly during the week. And then, yeah, Alan, we got that the big hit there. So, yeah, I mean, it seems like for me, I liked under prior anyway. I just seemed like it was kind of a lot. And I'm throwing both those games out that we watched last week, especially that Patriots game, we know where the Chargers were in a real bad spot. But, you know, I can't stray away from my three-team par, although it's dead. My annual three-team par, I'll probably put it in next year. I don't really care what anybody thinks. But – yeah, you know, Patriots are going to stroll in Arrowhead, and, you know, I don't know. Like, I don't know if people are trying to play the Mahomes will be kind of like, you know, a bigger stage. He's going to be a little bit nervous. I think he's going to be a rock, and this is kind of like the point where I have a hard time believing the Patriots even got an edge, considering they got Belichick and Brady, where now they don't have Alex Smith. They have Patrick Mahomes, who's, you know, hard to stop. And Dave already pointed out that they've already played earlier this year, just like the Saints in the Rams game. So I'm not trying to beat around the bush or anything. I still think the Pats are going to win. But I know a lot of guys that I respect that kind of like Chiefs or lean Chiefs. You know, it's going to be in the cold. Both got a pretty decent running game, and Patriots use their running game a lot pretty well. And I think they'll be able to kind of confuse that Chiefs defense that teed off on the Colts. For the most part, I threw that game out anyway, but I think the Patriots should be able to move the ball at least enough to get it into field position where Brady gets it done in the red zone. And that'll probably help him at the end to win the game late. So close one. I like some under as well. I think the Patriots win the game by maybe 2 or 3 points there.
This one is again, nothing would surprise me. And when I feel that way, I can't strongly feel a side in a play. I'm leaning towards Kansas City. I think that picking against the Patriots is not fun. It's not. It doesn't ever feel good. And, I mean, last week I loved New England. I just thought that game set up perfectly for them. And what they showed was their ability to run the ball and do those short passes. I mean, James White was all over the place. He caught 15 balls, I believe. And those are like runs. They just keep moving the ball. They keep moving the chains. If they do that, you know, the game, Kansas City's going to have to win in a shootout. For me, though, the unit that's going to decide this game is the New England defense. How much are they going to be able to slow down all of Kansas City's weapons? What kind of defense are they going to play? How are they going to scheme it? And, you know, obviously based on a track record, he's the best in the business with doing that. Belichick is. So that's what's going to decide the game ultimately. I don't know about the under. All this weather forecast, I've never talked about the weather in Kansas City more in my life and heard about it. It's been nonstop on every show, on you know, just in passing, in the books. And when it all goes that way, there'll probably be 60 points scored in the game. You know, it'll be 31-28 final, something like that. You know, it'll fall three, and you know, it will all have done it for nothing except the props. So that's where I see this one. It's not really exciting, and it's not a strong side either way, but that's probably where it's going to end up. I don't know. AB, you got anything here?
I think this game's going to be magical. There's supposed to be a blood moon after the game, so the moon's going to be red out there. So I don't know if that's the blood that Tom Brady's going to take from the Chiefs or if it's just the Chiefs' moon. I'm not sure.
Is this for real? Serious about
that? I'm dead serious, yeah. Wow. I just feel like there's going to be magic in the air, the Arctic blast. You got the guys with the long sleeves, and I mean, it's just going to be – it's going to look like something else, so – it definitely like has that feel of something crazy going on, like close game. For me, I like Tom Brady over 2 touchdown passes plus money. I think that's the bet I would lean towards in this situation. I'm not crazy about the sides. Chiefs, I believe, were as low as 145 on the money line. I could see touching that back then, but now you're looking at 165, 170s. So not that confident that the Chiefs will win the game. So for me, I'm looking, like I said, so this time of year, I start really looking at props if I don't really like a side in these games. So
ticket count for us has been pretty even again with this one. I actually believe there's more tickets on the Patriots, but the Chiefs money line bets have outweighed that. So I think Sunday, by the time the game kicks off, we're going to need the Patriots at our place.
We're actually on the other side. We have more Chiefs on the side, and Patriots on the money line. So it's
wow.
I figure it's going to be more or less the same. That's what I thought coming into it anyway. You know, just the Chiefs being the favorite there at home is fine, but you know, I can't really put it into perspective what people think or what they took away from the earlier games. But, you know, just seeing the Pats as a dog, I mean, I figure most people are going to be like, why would we take the points if, you know, we think they're going to win? So, I mean, that rationale is going to continue on to Sunday. And they'll be right. They'll all be right. Yeah, the Patriots will be in the Super Bowl, and they'll probably win it again. Yeah, how about that? that's happening.
What's the matchup you think will be the
one in? I didn't even yell it. I just walked it in.
What's the matchup you think would be the best matchup for the business?
Well, I either cut it into two. Obviously there can be a combination, but it's either going to be like the Grizzled Vets where Breeze matches up with Brady, which is fun. You know, teams that have actually been there, or the Young Guns get in, like, you know, Goff goes heads up with Mahomes in a game that you might see again later down the road between Rams and Chiefs. Could be, you know, that type of deal. So one of those two, I think, could generate a lot personally to me if it's from an NFL standpoint. But, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'd rather see Brady and Breeze. But, you know, we're going to see Mahomes and Goff for the rest of our lives coming up here. So.
No, we are. Ridiculous. Goff may not be the starter there in like three more years. Goff's not even good.
They're going to be back. I mean, the teams are great. And the Chiefs and Rams will be there for a while, man.
I'd like to see Saints-Chiefs. I'd like to see Mahomes collect two Hall of Famers' heads on his way to his first Super Bowl.
Good story there.
Good. Yeah. That's a good one. That's a great one.
Especially because he's such a young player and he came in the league so dynamic. Oh, yeah. Game of Thrones is starting up again soon, so I'm starting to get that edge to me again.
You know?
Exactly.
Pretty good.
Sir Mahomes getting out there chopping people down.
Yeah.
Yeah, man, I mean, I'm excited to watch both these games as far as, you know, the talent that's on the field and whatnot. I think they're going to be really entertaining. So we got some good championship games. The Super Bowl is going to be fantastic no matter who gets in. So
I think, yeah.
Just a lot of storylines.
I'm pretty excited. I'm always excited for it, but this year it seems like it should be a good one.
I'm excited for it, too. I think I agree with Mo. I think the two storylines are the grizzled veterans. Patriots, Saints, and, you know, which one comes out on top in that matchup, or a rematch of that Monday night Madden game that we watched with the Rams and the Chiefs going up and down a field in Atlanta, you know, one of the fastest tracks in the league, in a dome, no weather. I mean, I don't know what will make the total, 80? 79.5.
That'd be like 96.
Yeah, it'd be like a Big 12 game. I mean, seriously. It'll be the highest total ever for the Super Bowl.
I'm just thrilled I have that 59.5 over already for the Super Bowl.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, because even then.
It ain't going to be lower than that. No. No matter who's in this game.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the absolute bottom. No question. Yeah. So, yeah. Making the props for a Rams-Chiefs Super Bowl is going to be real interesting, because whatever we all come up with, you got to add juice to every over, or just, you know, if they average 88 yards a game, it's 98. Just make it 10 yards higher because you know what the way it's coming.
98 and, over plus 10.
Right.
We'll just move it when they bet it.
Just move it. Right. That's it. We'll start it out high, and then we'll let you guys try to bet the under because you know, we all know
what happens. Over money's coming. Yeah, exactly. Right.
Oh, man.
Coming in hot. Man, without question.
Jeez. All right, guys. Well, anything else to add here before we shift gears?
On the NFL?
Yeah.
I think
go ahead, Ma.
I think I got most of it out. I wanted to say I was happier that the Chiefs game was later in the day. I don't know. I just think it's going to be a better game, in my opinion. I don't know. I mean, Saints-Rams is going to be for sure pretty solid, but the Chiefs-Pats game, I think, should be one that everyone's going to remember. So, you know, if anybody's listening, they should stay tuned into that one. I'm going to try to keep myself as sober as possible so I can understand what's happening.
I just hope they live up to the hype. You know what I mean? Like, the buildup has been great all week. It's the top four teams, the 1 and 2 seeds on both sides get there. We got 3-point spreads, which leads you to believe that, you know, either side can win in either game. Totals are ridiculous, which means we should see scoring. I hope there's not a 17-14 game. I just don't want to see a 17-14, you know, penalty-filled type game. The NFL has a stage right now for a lot of people's eyes and a lot of things to happen. Please don't be 17-14. That's all I'm hoping for.
Solid. Yeah. I'm in on that, too.
All right. Well, Big Dave, let's talk a little NBA here. What are your thoughts thus far? I know DeMarcus Cousins coming back tonight was kind of like the biggest NBA story. He looked decent for only getting a few minutes and fouled out in 15 minutes, which was comical.
Not before he made three threes, though.
True.
Are you kidding me? He's going to start making threes? They need that?
Well, he did that in Sacramento, too, but like – I don't know. I still think that a healthy DeMarcus Cousins could be the downfall of the Warriors.
What?
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, there's a reason guys like him didn't win in Sacramento and didn't win in New Orleans. I mean, granted, he was winning thanks to Anthony Davis and him both being there. But ultimately, I just don't think guys like this win. Like, he just reminds me of the Carmelo, the Dwight Howard mold. Very over-emotional and can't keep things in check.
I could see that. But when you get in a different culture and what the Warriors culture is unable to be replicated anywhere else, you either get on board or they won't keep you around. I mean, he's on a one-year deal, right? Like he's kind of playing for the next deal, I believe. He's got to play what they want him to do. I think he'll fit in. And I think it just adds another dynamic to a team that doesn't need another dynamic. I mean, they are rolling.
He already said tonight afterwards that he thought that the love he was getting was fake and that he doesn't know how KD and Curry put up with it and that he doesn't like cameras in his face. I'm like, then why are you at Golden State, bro? I'm like, did you not think like you were going to be an intriguing part of this season for them?
Yeah, what did you think was going to happen?
I'm telling you, this guy, just something about him. And I think deep down he's a really good dude. Like, I think, like, you know, he's done a lot of good, like, charity stuff. And I think off the court he's just a really good guy. But, man, on the court, like, he's just, I don't know, something weird. Like, the technicals and all these things and –
He fouled out in his first game back, man.
Yeah.
I think it was planned.
In 15 minutes. Yeah, it was. You got it.
Planned it.
They had a page one material.
No way in the world.
Well, who beats him in the West then?
Nobody.
Oh, I don't know. Can James Harden just strap this team on his back again? I don't know.
He is playing out of his mind. It's so impressive.
They should just sit Chris Paul until the game one against the Warriors and just say, all right, shake off the rust. Make sure those things are taped up. Every, like, joint you have in those legs, just wrap them, dude.
There's a guy.
When is he coming back? Is there, like, a timetable on
who cares? I mean, like. Seriously, though, who cares? Like, you talk about, you know, Boogie in his perception. You could kind of say the same thing about Chris Paul a little bit, couldn't you?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, who was the guy he sucker punched earlier this year?
Who?
Remember he was claiming he spit on him, but it was actually his teammate that accidentally spit on him?
Rajon Rondo.
That was it. Yeah,
that's right. Everyone
wanted to throw Rondo under the bus because no one likes Rondo.
Yeah.
Man, that was crazy.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, I forgot that even happened. My God. The NBA has been crazy.
I don't know if there's anyone in the West that can beat them in a seven-game series. I just don't know.
Well, I think they beat themselves. That's my point. Wow. I don't think it's so much that anybody else beats them. It's that, you know, the Durant stuff bubbles over, the Marcus Cousins factor, the fact they've won a gazillion titles already. Something's going to break, I feel like. And then they probably win it next year when Durant leaves.
Right.
Never. Impossible.
Never.
Impossible.
The East is interesting, though, isn't it, AB? Like, I mean, these teams are –
oh, yeah.
The top of the East is great.
The playoff basketball we're going to get in the East is going to be phenomenal stuff. I mean, even the Pacers are dangerous.
Right.
The Nets are coming on. I mean, they're winning some decent games. They beat the Rockets.
You think they make the playoffs?
Yeah, I do.
I think make the playoffs as well.
I think they're very good. Yeah, I think that it's all coming together for them, and I think they're. I mean, D'Angelo Russell's playing out of his mind. I mean, you know, he's always had that kind of potential. He's still only 22, which I think people forget, and so he's really coming into his own. And I think they definitely are going to be a playoff team. Kind of hoping the Raptors don't have to see them in the first round.
They're going to be a team that you don't want to play in the playoffs. I mean. It's going to take everything they got and a couple breaks to win a series against one of the top four, but it's not going to be a fun series to play, and it's probably going to go six or seven games.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not going to be like playing the Heat or whoever one of those
where
other
you know
teams
that they can't
are.
They can't take you out in seven games.
No.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah.
No. Yeah, currently the Nets are sixth in the East. They rose up today, got ahead of the Heat and the Hornets, and they're rolling, man.
Yep, it's funny though. Do you guys remember ever, like in recent NBA history, the amount of blowouts that occur on a nightly basis? I mean, like Cleveland stopped playing. You can't even make a line against them anymore. You're down 28 at halftime. I'm doing the halftime lines. How do you make a line on a 28-point deficit at halftime?
Right.
It's hilarious because it'll come pick. It's, right. You know, they were 15-point favorites. They're up 28. You got to make the team that's down like a four-and-a-half-point favorite at least, you would think.
Yep.
Comes pick, minus one. What are you talking about? And they cover. It's crazy. So teams have already – I mean, this tanking thing, you that was funny on Twitter when you said start tanking because I was sarcastic.
Of course you were.
Yeah. But it's funny. They are tanking. They have started tanking, and they continue to tank. I've been lamenting all week in the room. After the All-Star game, there's six teams I don't even think we should put on the board in the NBA.
Right,
enough,
yeah.
Unless they're playing each other.
The limit four games. Yeah, you can have $200 on that, sir. That's our max bet on the spread. On the spread? On the spread, sir. The total's $50, and you do not offer a money line.
Right, right. That's it. I mean, like the Bulls, there's so many teams. I just go to the Knicks. It's just a joke.
Well,
it's...
I was saying, you know what they need to do, man? Here's my honest take on this. I'm tired of these teams, like, on purpose trying to get to the bottom and get the most lottery balls. I think they need to play for it.
How so? What do you mean?
Okay, so, like, let's say we'll just say the bottom eight teams to make it simple, right? So we obviously have the Cavs, Bulls, Knicks. Suns, Hawks, Grizzlies, line them up, seed them 1-8, and you have to. Now you're in a tournament, a one game, first round, one game semifinals, and a three game finals. The winner of that gets the number one pick.
Genius! I love it,
and people
That's
would
fantastic.
Love it. It's great basketball because now they have to play for something. So all the young guys got to show up. Owners are going to be upset if they don't win the number one pick.
Oh, and
more money.
Yep.
Wow.
That's it.
I like
it. I actually want to see it too. I mean,
right.
It would generate a lot of attention for sure. Guaranteed. Yep.
And then there'd be no seeding, there'd be no home court advantage. You just like literally roll some dice and
they're basically
and this team gets a home game, this team gets a home game. You know, no matter where they are in the standings, no one cares. It's like the bottom eight teams get this shot at the number one pick.
They're basically playing basketball all year anyway. So they should just
continue. That's the thing.
You know what I mean?
Like, it's a maximum of five games after the season when the NBA teams play 100 games in the playoffs.
Right.
What is that to the teams who didn't do well?
Yeah.
Might be a draw. And teams and fans of teams that have bad records would show up in droves for those games because they want the number one pick.
Right. Yep. And you'd actually be able to root for them instead of rooting that they lose.
Right.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
That would change the dynamic. Yeah.
And I'd just like to point out, now that I brought this up on social media, someone else will take this from me, I guarantee
it. Has to be done.
Yep. Because it's out there in the world now. So there we go. So that one's for free, everyone.
I'm going to take it.
I've often said that.
I don't care.
If you take it, I know where to find you, so I'm not afraid of that. You can do that, Mo. Go run with that.
You can't hide, Mo. Forget it.
It's
everyone knows where you're at.
They got me. Dog.
Yeah.
They got me.
I've said that the team that misses the playoffs, you know, the nine spot, they should get the most balls.
Right. Right.
The team that tried and just missed, that'll reverse all the tanking.
No doubt.
Still playing to make the playoffs. I mean, yeah, you go be the eighth seed and lose in the playoffs. I mean, you still made the playoffs. It would continue – just keep the competitive level what it needs to be. It's so it's compromising the product. And that's –
like in the NFL, too, you could do something where it's like the last four games of the year. Like the team that wins the last four games of the year on the basis of where they were going in. Actually, like, helps your seeding in the lottery, or not lottery, but the in the standings. So, say you start like 0-12, if you go 4-0, you'll get the number one pick.
Right.
and that'll, you know, you got to obviously, like, you know, luck out a little with the schedule, and hopefully you're not playing some teams that really need the wins. But at least that would make it so that there's something going on in the field that, like, you know, benefits you. Because, I mean, that's the big thing. Like you said, like, you just get these games that aren't even competitive. So, like, let's you know, let's make this stuff competitive. Let's figure out a way to do it. I mean,
yeah, there has to be a better way.
Right. And your theory is great, too, because at least that way, if you don't want to do the playoff, you know, type of thing, at least you're rewarding teams who are putting their best effort in and, you know, trying to claw their way into the playoffs. And that was something I said in the room, too. I'm just sick of these teams that are getting rewarded for being bad. Like, that shouldn't be a reward.
Yeah.
If nothing else, then maybe we make it where if you get a top four pick, you can't have one the following year. So that way, if you're bad again, you get your at best fifth.
No, yeah, that might not be a bad idea either.
Yeah.
Mo.
Yo, what's going on?
Virginia Duke tomorrow. Who you got?
Oh, man.
Was that the one you were freaking out about? Was that the one that was steaming?
No, it was LSU in South Carolina. Something must have went terribly wrong somewhere in the world for that line to happen. But, I was hoping that they wouldn't lose to Syracuse. I wasn't really hoping that, but I was hoping that, you know, it would be more of like a bigger game, undefeated, both two undefeated teams in the conference, obviously Virginia undefeated overall. But it looks like they'll be missing one of their star freshmen, Cam Reddish. They'll still have Williamson and Barrett, so it should be enough. But I don't know. You know, it's going to be a packed house again at Duke. But it just seems like Virginia's on this revenge tour. Bang.
Bang!
So, you know, watch for the defense to really key in on Zion. And, Syracuse kind of ran an up-tempo game, made a lot of big shots down the stretch in that one to take them out. This one should be more slow and methodical. I mean – you know, after losing that game to the 16th seed, it seems like they're trying to they're taking names right now, and Duke's going to be another one. So, you know, Bennett's a pretty respectable coach, and I know you know, the players all locked in, and Duke's still kind of feeling the woes of that game, and they almost lost the game prior to Florida State, man. So it seems like something's going on, and they're missing their star point guard Trey Jones, who looks like he hurt his shoulder. I think he might play. We'll see how he's doing during the game, but I think Virginia actually has a shot here to win in a convincing fashion.
Ooh,
yeah.
The line's two, the overnight line, and I expect it to actually close closer to pick. I think sharp guys are on Virginia, at least what I've seen and heard. Everyone else will be on Duke because it's Duke. The total's only 138. Which is unbelievably low for a Duke game, I think.
Yeah.
You know, but they're playing Virginia, who plays the best defense in the country. That's the obviously the premier game tomorrow. There's another one, Michigan at Wisconsin.
Yes, we're already like our ticket count is ridiculous on Michigan.
Oh, Michigan
opened it like 4 hours ago.
Yeah, we put it up. We took not one single bet on Wisconsin. I expect that to continue tomorrow. And Wisconsin, this is a game they cover, right?
Yeah, I mean, you know, Michigan, Wisconsin's having trouble on offense. That seems like that's what their woes are, and they're about
that's
to
an,
facing
that's a, an understatement. They can't score.
Brutal. It's terrible. But Beilein, you know, a guy that prides his team on defense, you know, it's kind of like not a good spot to be in, but definitely not something to be on considering what's happening with all the money that's hitting Michigan right now early.
127 and a half or 128 is the total right now. They'll be lucky to be probably 110 points scored in this one.
Man,
it's going to be ugly. It's going to be like watching Hoosiers again. You know, they're going to pass the ball five times before they shoot. We're going to take the shot clock down every time. It's going to be an ugly Big Ten basketball game, but just feels like one of those games that Wisconsin will find a way to cover. I don't know.
Sure. Yeah. No, I believe it. I think if I were to choose a side, it would just be with the points, like on principle. I think you're on to something with that. Early start in Madison. You know, they're going to be tested. Michigan's going to be tested. It should be close.
Last one for you, Mo, because I know you love the college baskets. Kansas at West Virginia. Kansas looking like a five and a half point favorite. Sure. West Virginia's underperformed.
That's an understatement.
That's an understatement. And it's a hard trip to make. It has been in years past. How hard is it going to be for Kansas?
Man, you know, if they're going to build any type of, like, respect in their in the locker room going forward for the rest of the season, which it's still long, they need to come to play here, and they need to play defense, and it's going to be rough. I think it's going to be, you know, tough for Kansas, who I think they've had some of their more brutal woes on the road. Should see a different West Virginia team. But if West Virginia is not putting the ball in the basket, I mean, it could get ugly late for them. So, I don't have any opinion on laying the five. I would lean that way still just because of how West Virginia's been playing. But just to consider how, you know, Huggins will have the kids playing, it should be close throughout the game for the most part.
This is one of those ranked teams playing against a non-ranked team. The line's only five. I can just see it going up 5.5, 6. And I love home dogs in college basketball, but I can't make a case for West Virginia here because they just aren't good. They're not good. They're in jeopardy of maybe not making the tournament, everything. I don't know. I just thought – if you tell me that you really liked Kansas, I just say, all right, then we got to give that one out as a play.
But, you know. Maddie, we added West Virginia to teams to never bet again this year.
Oh, okay. Didn't know about that. All right, very important enough.
Well, this is because if I did like West Virginia a little bit, there would be no way we could give them out to the listeners just on that rule alone.
Gotcha. All right, somebody got to nudge AB because I know he nodded off. Maybe he, you know, signed off for a little bit, but we need some boxing talk. I think we got to, you know, with Pacquiao Broner, you wrote a great column, AB, in Gaming Today. If anyone hasn't read it, go on gamingtoday.com and read AB's column. You really think Broner's got a shot in this thing?
Whoa, I blacked out. What happened?
Oh, man. I thought there was, like, a secret exit in the hub. Like,
oh, you didn't even know about that yet.
He just left.
Holds out. Oh, it's gone. man, I'm impressed with how this line has just drifted higher and higher towards Pacquiao, man. I'm very surprised. For those of you that maybe don't bet a ton of boxing, it's very traditional for the underdog price to come plummeting down. At least like 20 or 30 cents, and we're looking at Pacquiao opening as a 235, 240 favorite, and now he's driven up to like 330, 340. So I don't know, the money's coming in on the favorite, which is just insane to me. Broner's always been I wouldn't label him as talented as like a Zab Judah, but he reminds me of him in the aspect of if he really committed himself and got rid of the outside the ring distractions that he seems to love to surround himself with, that he had a lot of potential. But I think that, you know, a person can only take so much and be successful in something as high profile as these big fights. But that being said, Manny Pacquiao did get knocked out by Juan Manuel Marquez with a perfect counter shot. Broner loves to counterpunch. I think getting plus 270 around town, plus 275 is just crazy. I just don't see too many fights where I feel like you're getting like that kind of a level of value. I mean, when you really break down what a plus 270 is, essentially, if we put, you know, $100 on three straight fights, if we hit one of them, then we only lost $30. So.
Right.
In the grand scheme of things, that's why I feel like Broner's a great play. Not saying Pacquiao won't beat him, won't possibly knock him out. Definitely could happen. But in this game, you want to play when you have the price at your advantage. And for me, I just think this Broner line's pretty attractive.
Expecting this one to go to distance?
Man, I you know, the total's 10.5 with a high juice over. I think that if you're a little nervous about Pacquiao, you know, price, maybe play this under. But Yeah, I mean, it really seems like it should be Manny by decision from what you're seeing right on the board.
Yep.
Broner has never been stopped, so he has that. But man, I don't know. I feel like somebody could get caught very easily in this fight. It's an interesting total.
I just again with Manny being 40.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's just the X factor for me when I look at the fight. And again, I want it to be an entertaining fight. Every time we've gone to, I believe it was either 330 or 340, there's the number where you get the Broner bet.
Mm.
That's every time we've touched that, the alert goes off, the approval button has to happen, and it's a Broner bet for the limit or more. So right, that's the number. I don't know. And again, you're right. The way fights have gone historically since, I've been in the business here in Vegas, it always comes in on the dog early and the favorite late. And this is right, complete reversal from that.
Yeah.
So, obviously Manny's a popular choice, and, I still feel bad for the amount of bets that I took on him against Mayweather. And just watching these people be led to slaughter, it was like, oh, man. With the backing, I don't expect it to get higher than 340, but I just think, like you said, it shapes up to a Manny by decision kind of thing for me. You guys I saw you put up the five-way prop too, right?
Yeah, we have the five-way knockout or decision, and then we also have round-by-round as
round
well.
Round-by-round, yeah, so we put that up as well. So,
nice.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
Absolutely.
How about UFC? What kind of card is this?
Pretty solid, actually. It's the first fight they're having on the ESPN brand. So they have their prelims with the prelim main event being Donald Cowboy Cerrone. Very big fan favorite. And then the main stuff is on ESPN Plus, which is only $5 a month. Totally worth it if you're a UFC fan. But the main event's real deal. I mean, you got an Olympic gold medalist, Henry Cejudo. He's the guy that conquered Mighty Mouse, Demetrius Johnson, who now went to one championship over in China with a big deal. And TJ Dillashaw, who's been just a wrecking ball, man. I mean, just, he got outboxed basically in a UFC fight by Dominic Cruz, which is how he lost his title. And since then, he's destroyed Cody Garbrandt twice. And moving down in weight, trying to be a two-division champion. He's like a $2 favorite pretty much everywhere. Should be a great fight. A lot of tactical stuff. Both guys are really strong in their areas. Cejudo's a great wrestler. TJ Dillashaw is one of the best strikers probably in, MMA, pound for pound. But I think originally I was kind of leaning Cejudo because of the wrestling. But, man, Dillashaw is incredibly hard to take down. Guys have tried, failed miserably. He's so great at controlling his space and keeping his legs away from harm and then just, finding the holes in a guy's game. And just from some things that I saw online and some research I saw, I feel like Dillashaw is the guy here. Even though we've had some decent sharp action actually on Cejudo, I still feel like Dillashaw is the right side.
From my, just really diving into this and watching the numbers more so than watching the fights, but the last few events have been very entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
I'm leaning with you. I think Dillashaw, I watched the weigh-ins today. These guys are in incredible shape. They must have had outstanding camps. I like Dillashaw as well.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's anything could happen in UFC, man. I've seen, upsets happen that we didn't see coming. There's not a lot of people that thought Cejudo was going to beat Demetrius Johnson. So he might have taken himself to an entirely new level that we don't even know he's at yet. So I can't fault anybody for taking a plus 180, plus 170 type of ticket on Cejudo. But, I kind of have a couple things parlayed into Dillashaw, so we'll see what happens. But the other crazy fight that's on this card is Greg Hardy's UFC debut. He's a giant favorite, $5, $5.50 around town. So, Mo, you got anything to say about Greg Hardy?
It's ridiculous that he's on the card. We figured out what happened. I actually don't want to get into that right now. I don't think that. I don't know. I mean, I guess it's crazy that he's fighting for the most part. Is he favored in this fight? I don't know much about it. I need to be schooled.
Huge favorite. -550. You can bet against him, buddy, for 4-1.
It's the coming out party.
I thought he fought. This is his first official fight, right?
Official UFC fight, because he fought for Dana White's Tuesday Night Contender Series.
Oh, word.
Twice. Okay. And absolutely smoked both guys they put him in there with. So
I think we were talking about that while it was happening.
I think that
was already going on. I hope he loses, man. You know, we got to fade. If you guys want to put your money together, you know, just to get down against Greg Hardy, I'm with that. if we want to do that, I'm fine.
If you're up all day tomorrow, hopefully, are you gonna come with at least a 20 on this Crowder kid?
I think so. If we have a discussion, you know, a small discussion, I think I should have a 20. I hope I'm up for the most part. I thought the Duke game was at 9 a.m. It's at 3 p.m.
No, yeah, it's late, man. It's got built up all day.
Big Dave, they got me. They put the game at the top of the list on the rotation. Smoke me, dog. Smoke me, man. Oh, jeez.
Well, there was a time change, wasn't it?
Yeah.
What do you do? You think he's a good fighter, Greg Hardy? Alan, what do you think?
Oh, we have no idea yet. He's had like a cup of coffee in the MMA world, so way too early. Obviously, they love the fact that when he hits somebody, they go straight down. So I have a feeling even if he goes on a run, he'll run into somebody that probably puts him away. So
what is he at fighting? Some point? What's his weight class?
Oh, he's a heavyweight. He's a gigantic dude.
My bad.
The freak.
Yeah. I think he's probably like 260 or something like that.
Yeah.
And he's a big man. But otherwise the card's good. There's some good young fighters. There's some names that if you've ever watched the product, they're out there. They're throughout the card, mixed in on ESPN, ESPN Plus. So definitely worth checking out.
They're not doing like the pay-per-view thing anymore. They're all going to be on this ESPN Plus platform.
No, they'll still have pay-per-views. Okay. But the majority of their stuff is going to be a mix of ESPN Plus and ESPN. Like,
wow.
I want to say they have two ESPN cards, I think, in the first 4 months. And then there's like 10 that are going to be on ESPN Plus.
But there's not going to be like a $39.95 pay-per-view?
No, there will be. Yeah, the ones that are still numbered. Like UFC 224 or whatever the hell it is.
Is Fox dead? Like, is that?
That's it. Yeah, that's over. That's the over. Contract's dead. Over, okay. Which All is right. why they moved. Yeah.
Right, okay. All right. This should be okay. I don't know. I don't know if I'm a really big fan of ESPN as much as I was maybe 8 years ago. But I guess this is okay. my opinion on that meant zero as well. So, I can just tell by that awkward silence.
Well, listen, I'll be the first guy to admit I watch like next to nothing of ESPN. The only thing I ever even know that happens on ESPN is because of social media. So,
oh yeah, right.
You know, we've reached a level where you're watching actors performing sports media instead of actually getting any data or useful information. So,
they ran everybody out. And then it's just kind of become a circus. And
right, well, that's what draws. That's how they're getting ratings, because their ratings were way down, because most people don't want to watch people talk about analytics and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, you know what I mean? True. Very true.
So
the FS1 is a circus. There's ever a circus.
Yeah. But,
I guess we can get into that later. I don't want to. That's a whole nother rant for another show. For sure. Dave, do you watch any of this, like the FS1 stuff? Like, I mean, it's kind of it's getting out of hand.
It is. The whole thing with it going, you know, nationwide, and now there's such an appetite for all this stuff. And I mean, we're kind of the beneficiaries of it. I mean, we've seen, you know, just the numbers go up with people listening to the show, which is kind of fun. You know, when you put tweets out about games or different opinions, and you know, a lot of people want to hear it. It's just for us in the industry, it's what we do every day. So it's a hard crowd to please. Like, gambling Twitter is disgusting. I mean, like, everyone's an expert. Everyone wants to criticize everyone else, when sometimes all you want to just hear is, what do you think about the games, or what do you think about the lines, or let's talk about the business. So I listen to a lot of it, you know, in passing, where, you know, SportsCenter was must-watch television 10 years ago. You couldn't, you know, you had to watch it. You talked about it. It was entertaining as well as informative. Now, you know, the meter has been pushed. It's all fluff, no stuff. It's all entertainment and minimal, you know, information. We draw our information from a lot of other sources, at least, you know, people that need to know or want to know stuff. So, yeah, it's definitely changed. And you take from it what it's worth. I mean, even from us, you know, like, people listen to the show and, you know, they fast forward, you know, through 6 minutes of it because they don't want to hear about what we think about this or that. I get that. That's fine. We just want to bring it to you, like I said, in an informative way that is entertaining. And hopefully you pull a nugget or two, you know, when you listen to AB talk about fighting. I mean, it's just, he's all over this stuff. Mo lives and breathes at college basketball. You know, I'm kind of been diving into the NBA. I mean, everyone's kind of specializes in something, but we, you know, try to move it along and, you know, go back and forth and make it fun as well. I think, you know, there's a place for it. I really believe that.
I'm 100% on board on all.
Yeah, I think the key thing there is that you need to look, no matter what, if it's listening to us or somebody else or whatever, you need to look for people that specialize in stuff. Like, that's where you're going to get your best information. Like, you know, this is why Stephen A. Smith is saying Kareem Hunt plays for the Saints, because he's wearing 19 hats at ESPN because he's just basically an actor. He's there to get people riled up and you know, like, angry about his takes and all this nonsense. And it's like, how could he possibly keep everything straight when he has to know about boxing, UFC, NBA, college football, NFL? Like, there's no chance. You can't know everything. And, you know, clearly that you can see it as it's breaking down for him.
It's funny when you see him, like, recently, like, covering fights or something, and you got a guy like Teddy Atlas, who's a lifer. You know,
God,
I mean, right. And, you know, that tweet that Mo put out a while ago, where am I going to go? You know, where am I going to go?
I'm going to watch it again tonight.
Yeah, right. And it's so good. I mean, and he lives and breathes it. And then there's Stephen A. Smith sitting next to him, and he can't even match his enthusiasm, let alone touch his knowledge. And he looks so like you almost have to nudge him, like, Stephen A., say something, please. That's why we brought you here. You know? Yeah. I mean, so you're right. They put guys in positions sometimes, and you know, we talk about it, just even in the room. You know, you got guys in a room that you want to put in a position to succeed. You just don't know where to put them.
There's faces, and then there's guys who know stuff.
Right.
And they don't always equal up. And if you look deep enough, you'll know which guys know something and which guys don't.
And the guys that can do both should be able to punch a ticket somewhere. I mean, you know.
You think so.
Looking. I mean, I think we could take this show somewhere where, I mean, we could be, you know, this lock-it-in show. I mean, it gets people watching.
Oh, man. I can't believe I forgot to bring that up.
What?
Dude. Oh. Mo, do you know about this? They bought the Saints ticket.
What?
Yeah. Cousin Sal and your boy, what's his name? Terminator, but the other
Clay?
Dude. Clay. They bought the Saints to win the Super Bowl ticket.
Off of
They Bronx brought it up on their show. Yeah, I guess so.
Clay's my boy again.
No.
I shut the whole thing down myself.
Oh, my God.
Oh, wait, hold on. Wait, they bought a Saints ticket? They bought a Saints ticket?
Or... Yeah, they're hold on. Let me see if I can find this.
That was the one I saw. Somebody bought the Saints to win the Super Bowl. It was I believe they were selling it for $6,000 or something or whatever.
Yeah. They wouldn't say how much they bought it for, but the ticket pays $168,000.
Oh.
So wow. They were saying Furman backed out at the last minute.
Yeah. What an asshole. I'm going to text him tomorrow, and I'm going to let him know. What a complete
And they said Rachel's in for 40. That's what they were saying. I was like, wow, Rachel. That is wild.
Rachel should have put down more.
Wow.
Yeah. Once we get Rachel, then we're on our way.
Generally. No, I was going to say that the Saints are doomed.
Oh,
they're done.
Yeah, Cousin Sal and Clay are in that big on the Saints.
Let's go ahead and revisit the Saints-Rams game.
Start the show over? Okay. We're just starting the whole thing over. We're going right back. Mo's going to be like, oh, man, the Rams are flying in money line.
They're going to be up 14 just like the Eagles were, and they're not going to blow it. No, I'm waiting on Whitlock to give out his takes, and then those are going to be faded.
He was wearing the Mahomes wig, wasn't he?
Yeah, that was the beginning. You were here for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, now we're waiting on the actual move where he's like, yeah, he's going to get down here, and then I'm going to be like, well, I'm going to get down there. You know, it's in a different area, I'm hoping he's still on Chiefs. That's like the only thing. It's not even a real analytic or handicapping deal. It's just kind of based off of just faith and hate. You know, spite. Spite plays. By the way, Cash Considerations does do spite plays for the most part.
Revenge tours, spite plays. There's a whole list of category that we need to put under, you know, Mo's steam. I mean, we got action plays. There's all kinds of stuff.
I wish you had seen that South Carolina get steamed. You would have lost it, man. I'm telling you. It was unreal. I said, it can't be. It was.
Oh, man. I don't know. Part of the business, as well as you guys know this, I mean, you got to know who your players are, who, you know, you want to side with more, but you also got to know your players are that you want to be complete opposite of as well. I mean, I watch Locking In, and Clay's the guy. I mean, you know, what's that saying? If you don't know, you know, who the square is in the room, it's you.
Right.
Clay plays it great. Like, I mean, he acts like it's not him. It's him every day. And it's hard picking games every day. You can't pick winners every day.
Yeah, that's
but
very
my
true.
Man's on the low end of the totem pole pretty consistently. And when he goes on and goes and gives these, like, oh, this can't happen and this can't happen. And then you watch the game the next day or that night, you go, it happened again. That's the guy. Yeah, that's the guy. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's the problem. It did happen.
Yep. Well, it happens a lot less than it doesn't. Let's put it that way.
No, it's great that it's like it continues though. I love it.
Yeah.
I absolutely love it. It happened. It actually happened.
All right, guys. I think that's the perfect spot for us to wrap this thing up. anything else, Mo, on the way out here?
Yeah. I've already this is my second day fading UTSA. Actually, I've already faded them 6 days in a row. They play UAB tomorrow. They're a 4-point dog. Play UAB. That's really the only play for sure if I had a big one. And then just play against Tech San Antonio for the rest of the season. That's what I got.
Nice. What about you, Big Dave?
How do I follow that up?
I know,
play
right?
Against UTSA the rest of the season? What the hell do I say after that? Oh my God!
I'm coming after him now.
Enjoy the football games this weekend. Like AB said, I mean, we put up a ridiculous amount of props, and there are some. I guarantee there are some numbers that aren't right. I just know based on a couple bets already, and every book has them. So do your homework and play the props that you really like, because it's an entertaining way to watch the game. And I don't know. Selfishly, I want to see the Rams play the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
Nice.
I've had enough of the Patriots storylines. They make for a great foil. They're a great villain. So
it's true.
You
know, it's true.
They play the heel. Bet under in Gronk receptions and yards. The guy's done. That's all I've got.
Bang.
Right on. Well, for all the guys, thanks for listening, and we'll check you next time.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.